So one time there was an atheist, and he was out in the woods, and he was just strolling along. And we're just gonna imagine that he's in Banff, and he's enjoying the weather, and it's just amazing. And he's looking at all of the creation that's there. He's having a big hike, and he's like, "Man, this is amazing. This is so good. This is absolutely fantastic." He's walking along. He's seeing how tall the trees are in Banff. He's even seeing like the size of the mountain. And he's like, "Oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is amazing." And he's going along, and he's seeing how the strong water is cutting through even like the strong rock. And he's like, "Man, Mother Nature is absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing." And he's so in awe of creation. He's just taking it all in, and he's like, "And this all happened like that." And he's just like taking in as much meaning and purpose in life. And he's thinking, "All this was just by random chance. And this is absolutely fantastic." Taking it in. And then all of a sudden, as he's walking down the trail, all of a sudden, by the corner of his eye, he sees like something running towards him. And then as he turns around, and if you've ever been to Banff, there is a high chance of seeing bears. And then right there in front of him is the biggest grizzly bear charging at him at full speed. And then right in that moment, he's freaking out. He says, "Oh my God!" Everything stops. It's totally frozen. The trees are no longer moving. The air can no longer be heard. And a light from heaven just immediately shines. and a voice comes down from heaven, and it says, "Yes, did you call?" "Oh my goodness, it's God." "Yes, how could I help you today?" His entire worldview is completely shattered in this moment. And he's like, are you trying to ask for forgiveness of your sins? Are you asking to come to know me in this final moment?" And the atheist just stood there, and he said, "No, that would make me a hypocrite. Because my entire life, I've always pushed you away. And I've always reasoned my life of you having not you in it. However, if you could make this bear a Christian..." All the while thinking, because Christians don't murder, "That would be very helpful." And then God's like, "Okay." The light goes away. The voice leaves. And then the trees start coming back. Everything's back to normal. And as this bear is just charging full throttle at the man, he's like freaking out. And the bear just comes up, and the paws are going. And then immediately it goes down to its knees. And his paws come together. And he says, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this meal I'm about to have." Amen. So good morning. welcome to church. My name is Pastor Matthew. And today we're kind of continuing a series called Renovate. And we've been talking about just a few different topics. So we talked about, how you should be treating your body as the Lord's temple. We've explored last week, what does it mean to be diving through God's word, and how should we read it? And then today we're going to be talking about prayer. And I actually know from experience, when it comes to prayer, it's one of those topics that there's not only that there's different views, but there's always like that idea within church that's like, "I know I can do better. I know I can do more. It's just hard. It's just really hard." And this morning, I actually don't want to tackle this subject by simply saying, "Here's some really good ideas for this new year. Here's some really good tips. Here's some really cool different ways that you can pray." I actually don't want to tackle it from that perspective. I actually want to go right to the root of how we can improve our prayer life. And so I actually want to ask a question this morning, and then I know this can be a bit awkward for some of you guys, but I would like you guys to actually speak to those around you. And we're going to have like almost like a mini small group moment here on Sunday morning. And so the question I want to ask you is, how has God been faithful to you this week? And of course, you'll be asking yourself, how has God been faithful to me this week? I want you guys to think about that. And if you guys are, you know, you're more introverted, it's totally fine. Just listen and take in what other people want to say. But just do think about that. And the reason why is just because I find that one of the key things to knowing of how we can pray is asking yourself, what's God doing in my life? Because I think nothing will motivate you more to run to the open arms of Jesus Christ than being simply aware of what he's doing. So take a few moments, ask yourself, how has God been faithful to me this week? And the reason why I think this question is really, really good is because this is a question I think you and I should be asking ourselves on a regular basis. The other question I have, and we're not gonna dive into it, but it's just asking yourself, how has God inspired my faith this week? And the reason why these two questions are really good is because they do help you guys to kind of get a sense of what God's doing in your own life and to be so aware of what he's doing. And I've always found that nothing will drive you to prayer than just simply acknowledging and seeing and taking in and being aware of the faith that you have. Not in the faith in your own prayer life, nor faith in your own discipline, nor faith in how good you think you are in your spiritual walk, but faith in your Heavenly Father who loves you. That's what I have found more and more. That's what drives you and I to pray. And so even though that we might have all these big roadblocks that might be happening through our life, maybe I'm too tired, I find it boring, it could be all kinds of different things that might be throwing our way. I don't have time for it, I don't know what to say, and I have a whole bunch over there. Maybe like, you know, you're praying, but the problem is not going away. I've even found a big one in just talking with a few different people is if you find yourself being extremely angry with God, I have actually found that what ends up happening is that you could end up in that anger because God's not seeing things your way, and you find yourself kind of losing control over different things. You pray, things don't go your way, and then all of a sudden it's just, you start almost like stop praying, or you start pushing the things of God away, and then of course you start losing the joy of his tangible presence and his peace in your own life. And I wasn't going to put that up, but I've been praying, and I am finding that, I don't know why, but if for whatever reason, if you find yourself angry at God, I just want you to know this morning that he wants to tell you that he's saying, it's okay, just come back to me. Just come back to me. Don't let that anger bottle you up so that it will just remove you from enjoying what I have for you. But those two questions, how has God been faithful to me this week? How is God inspiring me? Even for you parents, if you're asking yourself, how can I raise up my child to know Jesus? What two great questions to ask on a regular basis? Not every single day, obviously, or else it gets a bit weird. But on a rhythm of some kind of ongoing basis. I'm saying so-and-so, I was just wondering, how has God been faithful to you this week? I'm actually curious, what is God doing in your life? I want to celebrate that with you. And it helps your child to understand and become more aware of what God is doing in their own life. So not only can they celebrate it, but then you can also celebrate with them as well. Just really, really good questions as you're kind of moving along. But we're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer, and we're trying to figure out what God's doing in our own life. We're trying to become aware of that. And I remember even like this Friday, we were talking about prayer with our high school students, and I asked the question, so how many of you guys have prayed? And like half the group raised their hand, and there was a few others that just didn't. And I had one person just like blurt out, just said, I don't know how to pray. I was like, well, you're not the only one. There's a lot of people who actually don't know how to pray. And I think you're in good company. Because even the followers of Jesus at one time asked the very same question. And you'll find it in Luke chapter 11. So if you do have your Bibles, just open up to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 is in the New Testament. And it's Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. So it's three books. If you have no idea how to find it, there's a table of contents in the front of your Bible. And what's amazing is that's also God inspired for people like you and I who sometimes get lost along the way. So this is Luke chapter 11, and it starts in verse 1. And it's this moment where it just says, you know, Jesus went, and he was in a certain place, and he was praying. And then when he was done, he came back to his disciples, and one of his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And as you can see, if you just look very, very kindly, you kind of see, I don't know what translation you have, but Jesus rebuked them harshly, and that's what it says right there. It says, I can't believe you're asking me such a ridiculous question? Is that what your version says? No. No, this is the Matt Brown version. No, Jesus looked, he turns to them right away and he says, when you pray, this is how you should pray. And I think that's amazing, that if you find yourself here with all kinds of different roadblocks, and you do want to genuinely say, yeah, I wanna have a more purposeful prayer life, know that God is on your side. He is not against you in any way, but he's welcoming you in and say, hey, let's do this together. I am gonna teach you this. I'm gonna lift you up. I'm gonna welcome you into my presence with whatever you can give me. And we're gonna learn this along the way. And then he shares with them one of the most famous prayers, which we call the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not going to have us all repeat it together because I find that there's all kinds of different versions out there depending on what age bracket you find yourself in. But you guys would probably know, Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, thy will be done, and then it goes on and goes on. But I only want to focus on that first word, Father. All prayer has to start somewhere. And I know for the disciples, the reason why they wanted to ask Jesus, teach us how to pray, it wasn't because they didn't really know how to pray. They grew up in a society, in the Jewish society, that was filled with all kinds of prayer. It had been modeled for them. They had seen it done. They had prayed even themselves. But I think they saw something incredibly special in how Jesus prayed. That they said, there's something so different that we need to know what it is. But I think Jesus' prayer, this is my own bit of my own opinion, but I think Jesus' prayers were incredibly simple and not overly complex. I think the prayers that Jesus prayed were incredibly quiet and not super loud, even though at times I think they could have been very loud. But I think they were incredibly private and not overly public. And I think for that, and I think the last one that they really were shaken about was his prayers were incredibly intimate. And we're not moved in any way by a distant God. And I think they saw it, they felt it, and they said, you know what? We need to know what it is. And Jesus says, when you pray, this is how you should pray. Father. There was a man named William Barclay. He was a professor a number of years ago. He was part of the Presbyterian Church of Scotland. And he was teaching, and he ends up telling this story about the Father God. And he ends up saying, there was a young boy, and they were in church, and the young boy was there with his dad, and everyone there was worshiping, just like we did this morning. And everyone had their hands raised, getting, they were really feeling the presence of God, except for the boy. The boy was starting to fall asleep, because sometimes for a young boy, church can be very boring. And then he just started kind of like dozing off. I mean, he was standing up at first, and then he slowly sat down, and then he started kind of dozing off. And then next thing you know, as he's about to doze off, at the corner of his eye, he can see his dad's hand coming up. And then all of a sudden, he started shaking. His whole chest kind of froze because he knew exactly what was going to happen. His dad was probably going to come in and just take him right out. And instead, as he's kind of waiting for that hit and anticipating that hit, His father's arms, as they were coming up, they actually came around him and they picked him up. His dad sat down with him and his dad looked at him, smiled and winked, and then went back to worshiping with his son as they were sitting down together. And the boy just kind of put his head in his dad's arms. And the boy said, I have, ever since that day, how I've seen my dad has changed forever. I think for Jesus, that's exactly the picture he wants for you and I to see as our Heavenly Father. So I think even within a room this size with as many people as there are, there can be a number of different ideas of who is this Father in heaven. Who is he? And for some of us, maybe he's like this almost like authoritarian type person and always trying to come after you and try to always like smash you down. Maybe he's incredibly critical. He's never happy with you. And that's how you kind of live out your faith at all times. Maybe he's just incredibly benevolent, really happy all the time, like benevolent. And he's just like, oh, everything's okay. You're very good. I love you. Even if you do something bad, I still love you. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm not offended. And yet, even that, I think a good father, when a child gets out of line, would, with gentleness and compassion and love, know how to confront that child and know what to say to help them up. So I don't know. Or of course, there's even that whole idea. Maybe God's just extremely distant. Maybe he's a father in heaven, fine. But I think he's not the kind of father that would be very close. And yet for Jesus, he's saying no. He's none of those things. He is a perfect, amazing, all-loving father who loves you and wants to be ever so close to you and who wants you to simply talk with you. And I know from the bottom of my heart that if we're going to be praying, if we want to have this culture in our own lives to pray, we have to ask ourselves, where's my faith in? Who am I trusting? Do I have a clear picture of my Heavenly Father in heaven? Because if I don't have that clear picture, there's a good chance I'm running as far as I can on a daily basis from my Heavenly Father. Because I don't think he has my best intentions at his heart. And that's simply not true. And Jesus is saying, no, he is your Heavenly Father. He is good. He is loving. He is close. And he wants the best for you. Come and see what he has to offer. May your faith and trust be in him, and he will never, ever fail you. So if we can begin to ask ourselves, where's our faith this morning? Is it in our Heavenly Father? I would hope that it is, and if it isn't, may you ask yourselves, Father, I am open and willing that you would teach me not how to just pray, but teach me to have an incredible faith and trust in you and in you alone. And that's where it all starts. If you do have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to a prayer. It's in the Psalms, Psalms 139. Now, again, this is a big book, and if you actually just take your Bible and you just kind of open halfway, you're kind of going to be there automatically. But I'll give you guys some time to get there. So Psalm chapter 139. And we've been talking about the person. This is where our prayers have to go to. This is where our faith is in. But I think with a posture of faith, once we can figure that out, what ends up happening is with our faith, I think comes this ability to actually have like purpose in our prayers. And I think this is a good framework for how we should be praying. How should we should be interacting with this loving Father that Jesus so wonderfully puts on display for you and I every single day. And so Psalm chapter 139, and if we just jump down to the last two verses, is verse 23 and verse 24. This psalm is written by a guy named David. He was actually one of the greatest kings that the people of Israel ever had. And what made him so amazing is not only was he a great, great king, but he was a good poet, and he was a good storyteller, he was a great leader. But even he wrote an enormous amount of prayers during really good times in his life and some incredibly difficult times in his life. And this particular psalm, Psalm 139, actually happens in one of his most difficult times of his own life. And in those moments, instead of running away from God and losing trust in his Heavenly Father, he ran as close as he could to his Heavenly Father. And he begins, this is verse 23 and 24. I'll just read it, and then we'll kind of quickly work through it. He says, Father, search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a small portion of such a huge psalm, but I think for us it's a great framework of how we should begin to pray, and pray with purpose. To pray with purpose, I think with a posture of faith, prayer becomes extremely, extremely purposeful. So I think for the first one is, when we're asking ourselves, God, how have you been faithful to me? We're inviting him into our own lives, and we're simply saying, now that I know where you're faithful, I know where I can trust you, I know where you're consistent, I'm becoming aware of that. Now that we're talking, I'm simply asking, Father, would you just search my heart? Would you search my heart? Because I think for everyone here, in some sense, we can become liars. I think the heart can be extremely deceitful. And we can go by our emotions, or we can begin to rationalize all kinds of different things. Oh, I'm not a very critical person. I just have very strong opinions. Oh, no, I don't buy a lot of stuff. I just like being very generous. Oh, I don't eat too much. I just like food. Oh, no, I just love people so much, but I don't have any time for myself. And then it goes on and on. You can begin to rationalize all kinds of different things. And some things that they're not even a big deal, but God wants to sometimes just kind of work on us on these like really, 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 really small things. This is totally off topic, but I actually spoke on prayer a few months ago. I actually wanted to see. I kind of gave like this really quick, to pray is to, and I used a word. I want to know if you guys can remember that. So to pray is to, I love it. To pray is to change. And I love that. This is extremely helpful for a vocabulary of healthy prayer. So here we go. Our prayers now have purpose because we have faith in our Heavenly Father. So search me, God, and know my heart. I know that He will be extremely gentle as he deals with that. But then we have the second one. Father, I just pray that You would just know my anxious thoughts. Now, I'm not talking about those fears like, you know, snakes or anything like that. It's not like Indiana Jones type stuff or anything like that where you're just like, oh, snakes. Why does it always have to be snakes or a fear of heights or whatever it is? It's not that. I'm not talking about those kind of fears. Those are like very general fears and phobias that you guys can work through. And yes, God will help you through that. But I'm talking about those anxious thoughts. I'm talking about those things that just chase you away from ever trusting God. I'm talking about those things where maybe it's just like fear of failure. Maybe it's the fear of actually being known. Like if people actually knew what I was going through, if people actually knew how I felt, then they wouldn't want to spend any time with me. Maybe it's the fear of being stuck in a bad marriage. Maybe it's the fear of sometimes it's the fear of succeeding because you feel like you're just not going to be good enough and you don't have enough education to be able to do what people are calling you or asking you to do, and you can't simply step up to the plate. Maybe it's the fear of the unknown, or it's the fear of losing a child, or losing a loved one, or losing your job, losing your position. And it's these things that keep you up at night, and you have insomnia, and you can't think, and you can't, and they're just, it's eating you up inside. And what's amazing about Jesus, as people were asking him, what are you all about? Please tell us what you're about. He said, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life to the full. And part of that is to experience this inner peace that only God himself can offer you. And it only begins to enter into our own mind and our heart and our whole being when we simply say, God, know my anxious thoughts, identify them, and may your love be able to just kind of heal what needs to be healed. Because I think from my own experience, I have found that what I have feared the most is where I have begun to trust God the least. Just let that sink in. What I have begun to fear the most is where I have become or where I have begun to trust God the least. And may those fears not be an indication of you running as fast as you're away from God, but simply being a moment where God's saying, come. Let's work on this together. Don't run away. Let my loving embrace pick you up and help you through it. May your prayers become purposeful and full of life. And I have found it more and more again. Perfect love, which only comes from our Father, will cast out all fear. It will. It simply will. And that he will fill us with his Holy Spirit, a spirit that is not afraid in any way, but is full of life and courage and strength and just like this boldness to do what he's called us to do. Verse 24, we're still on 139. Verse 24. God, search me. See if there's any offensive way in me. And this is a tough one. This is a really tough one because I think for all of us in this room, I think we all have this thing of pride. We all have our defense mechanisms. We all have our belief systems. But I think it could happen where there are moments where we can become extremely offensive to other people, our own children, our own coworkers, those whom we love, our own neighbors. And we can just, in a way, just get so frustrated with how things are, we begin to build up in ourselves these offensive thoughts towards other people. And what ends up happening is we can just push people away, we push ourselves away, and what ends up happening, which is, like, I think, very unfortunate, this is kind of what I talked about earlier, about just, you're so angry at God, you're so angry at people, and what ends up happening is you end up losing the ability to experience the tangible love and grace of God for you. So I don't know what that could be, but it's just a moment of just simply saying, Father, please search me. Please search me. And I actually want to take just a quick moment in the Gospel of Mark to show you how this would actually work. So if you have your Bible, flip to the Gospel of Mark, and if it's too far for you, it's okay. It'll be on the screen. So I don't want to spend too much time here. But it's a small story in Mark chapter 14. And it's in the final moments of Jesus being alive before he gave his life for us. And he was having a meal at a man's house, Simon the leper, and a woman just kind of barges in. And as they're all eating, the woman comes in, she's got a jar, like an alabaster jar of pure nard, or it's perfume. And she breaks the jar and she pours it on Jesus' head. Now this is a woman who unfortunately has a very questionable lifestyle, and that particular jar, she would have used it for her work. And she would have used it to manipulate men. She would have used it to attract men for different things. She would have, this particular jar of perfume, not only was it extremely expensive, but it represented everything of who she was and what she did. And I think she was just tired of this life. And I think when she heard that Jesus was in town, this person that can bring an immense amount of freedom, I think her prayers turned into a lifestyle that drove her to encounter Jesus. And what would happen is, in verse 4, you'll see it, some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why is this person doing this? What a waste of perfume. This could have been sold for more than a year's wage, which in our calculation would be about $20,000. So a lot of money. And the money given, and this money could have been given to the poor. And they began to rebuke her harshly. These people totally missed out on the beautiful thing this person was trying to do, because their way, their heart, as good as their intentions were incredibly offensive. And they began to devalue this woman who was coming to know Jesus. Now, what in the world does any of this have to do with prayer? In the exact same chapter, a few verses later, so Jesus finds himself in a dimly lit room, and he's participating in what is known as the Last Supper, and we participated in that this morning. Last week, Pastor Jay spoke on the Word of God, and I know he didn't get a chance to kind of talk about different tips and tricks, but it's really important when you're reading the Word of God to simply slow down and see what's there. Because a few verses later, and you guys can highlight this, you can circle it, in verse 22, Jesus is there. Verse 22, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he had given thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take it. This is my body. And then a few verses later in verse 24, this is my blood, which is poured out for the many. He said, take it and drink. What this person was doing a few moments earlier was she was simply saying, I'm done. I want to give everything to you. I am pouring out everything in my life so I can experience the fullness of the love of God. I'm tired of what's holding me back. I'm tired of these things. Search me. Know my heart.
know my anxious thoughts, know the offensive ways in me. Father, just break my pride. Break it. Even when people are so indignant and devalue me, break it all. I don't want any of it anymore. And then in that moment, she was simply saying, I am done being a partial follower. I want to be fully devoted. I'm all in. I'm all in. Whatever's holding me back, I'm all in. And this person's prayer, for who knows how many years, finally had purpose as she ran into the loving embrace of Jesus Christ. All the while, not even knowing it, she mimicked the exact same thing that Jesus did for you and I every single day. He gave his entire life, his whole body, and he gave it so that you and I can experience this full life every single day. Nothing is a waste in the eyes of Jesus. Prayers begin to have purpose when our faith is in our Heavenly Father, who doesn't break us for anything, who doesn't break us with anger, who doesn't break us because he wants to push us away. He breaks us so that the image of Jesus Christ can be just broken out of us, so that people can see it and people can celebrate with us and say, that is a wonderful testimony. I would love to celebrate that with you. And it just begs the question, how has God been faithful to you this week? And that is the wonderful, wonderful truth of how our prayers begin to have purpose. So there is that last line, Father, just lead me in the way of everlasting. There's no point, I think, to kind of belay that point, but Psalm 139 is that last little section. I think that once we begin to have an immense amount of trust for our Heavenly Father, we know that he's got our best intentions for us. And if there's anything he will do, he will lead us not to just simply good things. He will lead us to himself, just like this woman. Just like this woman, her entire past gone in an instant and saying, I am done and I want to return to being fully devoted once again. And it happened. And it's absolutely beautiful and amazing, and it's available for you and I here this morning. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and we're going to spend some time in prayer. And like Pastor Jay was mentioning, that yes, we are having a bit of a prayer meeting February 7th at 7:30. I do invite you guys to come out, and I do hope that this message was a bit helpful, because not only does it give a bit of a framework of how we should pray, but just know that the person that we're praying to is your Heavenly Father, who does love you. And I do want to just give some time for those in the front. Like if any of these things have resonated with you, and you're saying, I just need my prayers to have purpose again. And you just need time to be with Jesus up in the front. The front is open. If you want to just sit down, you can totally sit down. But you ask yourself, Father, search me, know my heart, know my anxious thoughts, know my offensive ways, and may you heal me from the inside out. Because perfect love will always cast out all fear, and it will heal you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would teach us every single day the amount of truth and beauty of the opportunity to be able to call you our Heavenly Father. God, you are not far away. God, you don't hate us. God, but you love us ever so dearly, and you are holding us up in your wonderful embrace. And I pray, God, that you would just build up so much faith in this room, God, that as we just go about our day, as we go about our weeks, God, as we go about our months, as we go about our lives, God, that you would not just be a good idea, God, that you would be the person that you are to us. God, you are our Heavenly Father. You are our Abba Father, our dear, dear, dear Father. God, I pray that we begin to see you like that and reach out to you, Lord. For those who are hurting here this morning, God, I pray that you would just shower them with your love, with your grace, with your compassion. And I pray, God, for this wonderful life that you give, this life to the full. And I know that in this moment, God, you are moving through every single one of these benches, Lord God, and your healing hands are upon every one of us, Lord. Your words of life are being spoken over us, Lord. And I pray that we would just have ears and hearts to just hear what you have to say, whatever it might be, as simple as it might be or as life-altering as it might be. God, we love you. And I pray, God, that you would just begin to just change us from the inside out and begin to encounter you every single day. In your wonderful and amazing name, amen. So may that wonderful song have purpose to you, that we do need him every single day. So I hope that you guys would just leave here asking these big questions every single day. How is my Heavenly Father faithful to me? How is he inspiring my faith every single day? Because nothing will drive you to the loving embrace of your Father than having your faith wonderfully ignited by his love. So I do wish you all the best. I wish that his peace would just be showered all over you. So church, God bless and have a prayerful week. Amen.